The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Have you ever been discouraged? Discouragement is one of the most effective weapons the enemy has in his arsenal. There are many reasons for discouragement, especially as we labor in the kingdom of God. Join us today as we begin to look at these reasons for discouragement as exhibited in the labors of Nehemiah and his countrymen.
Where we have been on Wednesdays evenings and Sunday evenings for a while. We've come to the fourth chapter, and we've already preached a couple of messages from this fourth chapter. You may recall last time we were talking about opposition and discouragement and fear. And we got down into the idea of discouragement that we see here in Nehemiah. You know, one thing we always need to remember is that when we're doing the work of God, there's going to be opposition. Sometimes people get this idea of, well, I'll join the church and everything will be fine. No, that's when things get kind of tough, when you join the church, because as long as you're not out doing anything to upset the devil, he's going to a lot of times just go along and things will be okay. He'll leave you alone. But when you start doing what God wants you to do, the devil's not happy, and he'll start stirring up trouble for you. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. You recall the situation here, just quick recap, is that Nehemiah was way high up in the employ of the king of Persia. He was a cupbearer to the king, but he found out, he was a Jew, and he found out that Jerusalem's walls were in sad shape. The walls were broken down, the gates were burned with fire, even though the temple had been rebuilt, but there was no protection around it. And in that day, an unwalled city was a vulnerable city. And when he heard the situation, and not only that, it said the people of God were just a byword. It says the people, the remnant that are there, that are left of the captivity, that had gone back after the Babylonian captivity, were in great affliction and reproach. Not only were they being put upon daily, pressed down daily, they were being mocked and they were being ridiculed. And we saw that that's one of the first things that happened. That's one of the first ways that Satan stirred up opposition when Nehemiah went back to build the wall. They began to ridicule him. These feeble Jews, look what they're doing. What do they think? There's no way they can build the wall. The enemies of God were out there spreading this around and began to just assault them with these things. And then we saw that they began to plot against the kingdom of God. They began to plot against Jerusalem and conspired to come together. You know, opposition to the kingdom of God unites enemies, people who are normally enemies. Pilate and Herod they had been at enmity until Jesus was sent from Pilate to Herod, and then they became fast friends after that. The world will unite against you when they won't unite together for any other reason. We saw that they continued to pray to God and to seek Him. But then, beginning in verse 10, and that's a real important verse in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. We saw last time just a little bit from this. It said, and Judah said, not the enemies, not those outside the kingdom of God, those who are within the kingdom of God, those who are children of God within the people of God there, began to say things that were discouraging. They had gotten discouraged, and some of them were compromising. But they had gotten discouraged and they began to stir it up within the people. You know, external threats can be resisted, but internal discouragement sometimes is the thing that you can't resist, or you should resist, but you don't, and it will bring you down. He said, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Discouragement came upon the people of God. Their confidence was destroyed. It was pulled down. They were flagging in their determination to do the things that God wanted them to do there in the land of God. So I want to talk tonight about reasons for discouragement and maybe, if we have time, the remedy for discouragement. What are some reasons we get discouraged? Well, one reason is fatigue. Fatigue. Sometimes we just get overworked. Sometimes we just get tired. Look at what he said. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now listen to me carefully. It's a burden to serve in the kingdom of God. This isn't just another stop on our busy schedule. It shouldn't be another stop on our busy schedule of things to do this week. This ought to be the primary focus. It ought to be the first thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek ye only the kingdom of God. God knew we're human. We'd have to work. We'd have to make money in order to feed our families and ourselves. We'd have to. He also, I think, understood that there would be things we would enjoy in life. You know, that we would enjoy fishing and hunting and some other forms of recreation. Nothing wrong with that until it becomes an idol. Then when it becomes an idol, it's a problem. And what is an idol? You say, I don't have idols in my life, preacher. If you have anything that is standing between you and God, that's an idol. Anything that you've set up in your life, it doesn't have to be a little statuette over there. It can be anything. It can be work. Work can become your idol. I come from a long line of workaholics. I struggle with that, okay? My wife will tell you, I struggle with that. There have been times in my life where my work has been an idol to me. It has gotten in the way of me serving the Lord. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that. It can be your recreation. You know, I've had people in my family and extended family that I know that when deer season comes, it's hit or miss whether they're going to be in church or not. Because Sunday morning's a great time to hunt deer, right? It's a much better time to hunt deer than to be in church. But you see, the recreation can become an idol. And not just church. It's not just church attendance. It's how we deal with one another on a regular basis. It's how we deal with one another on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday that counts just as much as whether we're in church on Sunday morning. You know, church is not just another stop on our busy schedule, as I said. You know, we don't say, okay, now I'm going to put on my church clothes, and then I'm going to take them off and put on my day-to-day clothes, my work clothes, and I'm going to be a different person at work than I am at church. No, we shouldn't be. The kingdom of God goes with us wherever we go, and we should be the same on Monday morning when someone sees us at work or at whatever recreation or social activity we're involved in. They should be able to say that man is the same or that woman is the same on Monday as they are on Sunday. And that's important. But you see, sometimes it's a burden to serve the Lord. It's a burden for me to do that. It's a whole lot easier for me to check Sunday church off my list, you know, and now Wednesday night, it's going to be a whole lot easier for me to say, okay, got that out of the way. Now I can go back to just not worrying about how I live or how I act or how I talk or who I run down with my speech or how I respond to people with my speech. I can just throw a fit on Thursday morning because I'm just going to get back and check off the box again. See, it's a burden. It's a burden. And let me tell you, the devil will push that on you. And sometimes we just get tired. You know, it's not easy to serve the Lord. And we just get overworked. And some, you know, we're human beings. We just get worn out. I've told Brother John Morgan and many other young preachers that I've counseled through the years to remember that the ministry in particular is a marathon and not a sprint. It's a marathon. But your Christian discipleship is the same way. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with zeal. You should be zealous and you should be excited. But, you know, sometimes we can work ourselves down in any situation we're in. And you can't burn the candle at both ends in anything and expect for it to not have consequences. Let's talk about a man named Elijah for a minute. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see where Elijah was. He was on Mount Carmel there, and he won one of the greatest victories that there's ever been recorded in the Bible for the kingdom of God. He said, we're going to have a contest between the prophets of Baal and me as the prophet of God, and we're going to see who wins. And man, he had, oh man, I wish I could have been there. I mean, because you remember those prophets of Baal began to say, he said, whatever God answers by fire, we're going to call down fire from the sky. And whichever God answers by fire, let him be the God. And he, of course, you know, he understands. He's not saying that that's going to make God God. It's just going to prove that God's God. See? And then those prophets of Baal got out there and they began to chant and they began to do all sorts of things. And then they began to cut themselves. And man, he had a ball with them. He taunted them. Said, just keep on calling on him. He may be on a trip. Your God may be busy somewhere. Just keep on calling. And then the time came where they just gave up. And he said, okay, it's my turn. My turn. He said, y'all come out here and you take barrels of water. And first of all, let me just stop there and say this. First thing he did is he built up the altar that had been broken down. He took those stones and he did exactly what God said to build a stone altar, and then he dug a trench around the altar, and he said it was a big trench. It was a large trench, and he said, take barrels of water and pour it on the wood, pour it on the rocks, pour it in that trench. I want to make sure that we know that this is God who's answering this. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, water puts out fire, right? Well, this was a day when fire put out water. God called down, Elijah called down fire from God, and it burned up the wood, and it burned up the stones, and it licked up all the water in the trench. What a great victory. And then he went down and slew, I believe it was 800 prophets of Baal himself. He went down and killed 800 prophets of Baal. What a great victory. But think about the physical toll upon Elijah. Think about How tired he must have been. I'll tell you, beloved, when I come home, Sherry will tell you, on Sundays, especially when I preach both morning and evening, but even when I don't, but especially when I preach both times, and one time not here a while back, I think I preached early for the church up at Friendship, and then I preached here at 11 and then 5 o'clock, and actually had a funeral the day before, and then had a funeral in a couple of days. And then on Wednesday night, I preached here. I preached six times in 5 days. I was worn out. I was tired. Sunday nights, I was telling somebody today, Sundays are not a rest day for the preacher. You know, Sundays are a work day. And by the end of the day, I'm tired physically. And like Elijah, I think Elijah was a workaholic. I tend to be a workaholic. And so a lot of times I'll sit down and I'll watch a ball game after, maybe if one's still on when I get home on Sunday night. And then I'll read some stuff and I'll sit up. Next thing you know, it's midnight and I hadn't gone to bed yet. And I wonder why Monday morning I'm discouraged. I wonder. Because you see, what happened to Elijah was Ahab told Jezebel about what Elijah did. And then she sent a messenger to, she didn't just say, I'm going to do it. She wanted Elijah to know what she was going to do. She sent verse 2 of chapter 19 says, she sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, one of the prophets, by tomorrow, about this time. In other words, I'm going to kill you like you killed them by this time tomorrow. And Elijah had just been on the mountaintop calling down fire from God. He had just been doing exactly what God said he's supposed to do. And then he didn't say, well, I tell you what, you know, what should have his response been? He should have told the messenger, you go back and tell Jezebel that she sets foot near me, I'm going to call down fire on her. I'm going to stand on what my God has told me I can stand on. Just like David, when David was a king, you know, he fled scared. He should have stood, you see. But it says, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. That means he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. And he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. It's the rare person that you run into who has never had thoughts of suicide. It's the rare person that you run into that's never been to a point in their life where they got so low that they didn't think, Lord, it'd just be better to end it all. Everybody that I know has been there. You're looking at somebody that's had that thought before. There are many people, children of God, who have had that thought. You know what one of his problems was? One of his problems was fatigue. He'd been worn out. He had been working all day and all night the night before, and then he ran for his life a day's journey. He didn't just slip over here to another country, you know, half a day away. He ran for his life all day. And then he got over there and sat down by himself under a juniper tree. He said, Lord, I'm just ready to die. Elijah was worn out. But look at verse 5. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Now, as I recognize as I preach this, if y'all will notice, I'm not going to look at my wife, because there's no telling what kind of look will be on her face when I tell y'all that one of the most important things that we can do is get enough sleep. Because we've had that discussion just recently that she doesn't think I get enough sleep. And I will agree with her that 4 or 5 hours a night is not enough sleep. So, of course, I'm kidding about her look, but the truth of the matter is that sometimes that's our problem. We get physically worn down. C.H. Spurgeon was well known. He was the prince of preachers, you know. And he was well known for having to take time off to rest and recuperate down on the French Riviera. He also suffered from depression, but he had to take off and go places. And sometimes we just need a vacation. Now, I'm not talking about a vacation from coming to church. You know, just sometimes we just got to take off for a few weeks from coming to church. I'm talking about in our lives in general, especially even when we're serving the Lord, sometimes we just need to stop and just spend some time with God. Isn't that what he did? First of all, he started sleeping. Sometimes we need to cut some things out of our lives that keep us from sleeping, keep us from resting. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's a project. You know, I'm the world's worst at saying no. I can't hardly say no to anybody. That's, can you do this, brother? Yeah, I can remember a time not too many years ago, several years ago, but not too many, where I can't even remember. I counted up how many meetings I had gone to preach at out of town. You know, didn't miss Sunday morning here is too often, but I'd be flying to California, flying here, driving there, and next thing you know, I was worn out. Sometimes we just need to rest. He lay down under the juniper tree and slept. I've heard it said that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is sleep and rest and take a break, or just sort of take a time off from your work or whatever it is that's interfering that seems to be pressing you down. Sometimes we get overworked, and sometimes we get underfed. Sometimes eating right is a problem for us. I'm preaching to myself tonight. Sometimes we just need to eat right. Look at what it says. It says in verse 5, behold, it says, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. There's someone sitting in the congregation who will remain nameless, who might or might not be a part of my family, one of my children, who might or might not be married, but isn't, who has a hard time. I can't tell you how many times we'll talk to him and he'll say, well, I didn't have time to eat lunch today. I forgot to eat. So let me just stop and say this. My children love being a preacher's children because I get to use them as examples all the time. Now, I kid about that, but Brother Mason and I have talked often about the importance of just eating right. And of course, Brother Mason's a good, he knows about working out and staying in shape, and he knows that's part of it. And sometimes we don't eat right. Sometimes we don't get the kind of physical nourishment we need. But notice the angel told Elijah, he said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. My wife's pointed this out to me before. It didn't say fried. Maybe that's a point that means something, maybe not. But anyway, it was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. I just want you to notice what's happening here. In the midst of depression and discouragement, God first is taking care of his physical needs. And sometimes that's important. We need to do that. We need to sleep right and eat right, and eat the right kinds of things and take care of ourselves physically. But also sometimes we get spiritually underfed. Now, I can use my own self. I like to pick on my kids, but I'm going to use my own self with this one. It hadn't been too long ago, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, how easy it is to just be too busy to read the Word on a daily basis. Look, y'all, I've told you before, this is, since we're not a Catholic church, it's me that has to confess to y'all, okay? but I share this with you because I think probably you understand and have experienced it as well. Even as a preacher, even as your pastor, it hadn't been too long ago that I went for, seemed like 2 or 3 weeks without any kind of daily Bible reading. I was reading and studying to preach, but not for my own edification. And you know what happens when you stay away from physical food? You get malnourished. You know what happens when you stay away from spiritual food? You get malnourished spiritually. If you don't feed the spiritual man, you cannot expect it to be strong any more than you can expect your physical body to be strong if you don't feed it. So sometimes we just get overworked and underfed. And we need to focus on it. That's why, what do you say in Hebrews 10:25? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that? Because if we do forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we won't get the kind of encouragement and uplifting that we need and the spiritual nourishment we need from the preaching and from the fellowship and from the singing. You know, it's a whole body experience, right? And I mean church body experience. We're not just here, you know, we didn't just start the worship service when I got up here to preach. The worship service began when we started singing. Actually, it really began when we started fellowshipping together before when we got here. But especially when the song service began, that was part of the worship service. And we need that. And sometimes we get fatigued and we need to take care of our physical and spiritual bodies. But you know, another reason for discouragement is frustration. Remember what he said back in verse 10? He says, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. Now, I'm going to come back to that, Lord willing. I have some thoughts that I've been thinking about and about preaching on that particular subject. If you may recall, about 5-6 years ago now, Brother Tim, my brother, preached for us as we moved into this building, and the title of the sermon was, There is Much Rubbish. And there is much rubbish in our lives. Rubbish is just that which occurs from the grinding of stones. It's dust and debris. And same thing spiritually speaking. It's what results from the daily grind of our lives and the stress and the struggles and the troubles we have in tribulation. Rubbish builds up, okay?
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.